This is Reverend Leslie here, and welcome to our audio service. We are coming very close to the end of April as I'm recording, and by the time we get to this weekend, we will be in the midst of May. And I know that Reverend Peter, will be leading the family service at North Nibley this weekend, and that will be especially for adults and for children together, and looking at victory in Europe and why we commemorate this special 80th anniversary of the end of part of World War II and where that really connects with our faith. So do go along to his service there. He's also going up to Tresham and leading a service up in Tresham after that at 11:15. And that service will include a wonderful sermon which was actually read by a William Gardner, who was a lay minister back in the wartime at Tresham Church and at Alderley Church on VE Day. So there will be parts and excerpts of that that preach that was 80 years old that are going to be used there. But here with us today on our audio service, we're going to listen to two readings to start with. We're going to listen to the story of Saul and his conversion. So we're on the road to Damascus and listening to how he was converted by God to Christianity. And then we will have another reading, which is from the Gospel of John. And that will be looking at Jesus and Peter particularly, and Jesus having a very interesting conversation with Peter over fish for breakfast. So let us start with our first reading, and we are going to hear from Acts 9, 1 through to the end. Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he found that there were who belonged in the way, and whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Well, there we have the first part of that reading. Now we're going to hear the second part, which comes starting in verse 7. The men travelling with Saul stood and were speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and didn't eat or drink anything. And then in Damascus, there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord had called him in a vision. He'd said, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, and this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, My Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his sight. The next part is just very short. And it says this: Saul spent several days with his disciples, with the disciples in Damascus. And at once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We heard all about Saul, who then became Paul, and how God intervened, because Saul was actually persecuting the Christians really badly, but he still used him and converted him to become a Christian and to follow Jesus. And now we're going to hear our gospel reading, which is taken from the Gospel of John on chapter 21. And this is the story of Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way: Simon, Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And they did. And they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had already taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish. And they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, charcoal, there with the fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore, and it was so full of large fish, about 153 they reckoned. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" But they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Now we have the next bit of the story, which is where Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said again, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourselves and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So in our gospel reading, there is a very meaningful conversation going on between Jesus and Simon Peter. There is this exchange where Jesus keeps asking Peter if he loves him, which becomes a little bit awkward. How would you feel if someone, however close to you, just kept persisting and pestering you? Do you really love me? Really? Do you really love me? Do you really love me? But actually, what is being said is very profound. It will change Peter's life, as if it hasn't already been changed, to be honest. There is, on the outside, this extraordinarily awkward interchange between Jesus and Peter. This is the first time that they've really spoken since Peter's denial. Remember when he said, "I do not know him," and he said it three times. Imagine that statement that must have gone through his mind over and over again. It must have been eating at Peter. It would have been there all the time in the forefront of his mind. It might have been one thing if Jesus had stayed in the tomb, but Peter, well, he had to live with himself for denying his friend and his teacher, and at the moment when Jesus needed him the most. He would have hated himself for it for the rest of his days. But then Jesus rose from the dead, and he had to actually look Jesus in the eye again. He hadn't really been banking on that. Peter must have realised, he must have really known that he was going to be forced to deal with his demons and his guilt head on. Peter was probably going through this conversation in his head over and over again, practising what he was going to say, thinking over and over what he could say to Jesus if he had opportunity, imagining what Jesus might say to him. Maybe he was even considering initiating that conversation himself if given the opportunity. But then Jesus is there, standing in front of him by a charcoal fire. The last time Peter was by a charcoal fire, it was when he denied Jesus on the night of betrayal and his arrest. And there it is. Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. Bang! But the crowd hushed at that moment. Everyone knew Peter had this coming for him. And everyone loves to see a good fight, don't they? And then Jesus asks it again. Do you love me? And again, do you love me? Now that is seriously awkward. And Jesus keeps telling Peter that if he does love him, if he insists that he does, then he's got to go and feed his sheep, his lambs. But that's just an outward conversation, because what Jesus is really saying is, if you love me, do something about it. Show me. And not like the last time. This time, you've got to feed. You've got to tend. You've got to really do it. What he doesn't say is, if you love me, oh, it'll be great because you'll have this nice fuzzy feeling in your belly and feel all warm and tingly inside. But Jesus then goes for broke. The last thing he says, follow me. Now, this isn't the first time he's told Peter to follow him, but this time it's different. This time there's no room for Peter's denial, for his sinking doubts. This time Peter is to follow Jesus all the way, in love, in ministering for others, in spreading the good news, in life and in death. But then, of course, there's one more level of conversation. You see, the Gospel of John recorded this for us in his Gospel. Because, you see, we are also in on this conversation. Because if we love Jesus, then feeling something and not doing something about it just isn't good enough. Thinking things in our minds and hearts isn't good enough either. We need to live it. We need to do it. We need to feed it. And we need to tend it. And we need to follow Jesus all the way. So this is not just a nice story from the Bible, a story where the characters are fictitious. This isn't like reading a thriller or watching a movie on the TV. This is scripture. This is the way Jesus speaks to us today. This is the way God interacts with us. His Holy Spirit is here right now in this moment, waiting. So what are you going to do about it? Jesus is saying to each of us, do you love me? And if the answer is yes, then the response from God isn't, oh, thanks very much. God's response is, well, if you love me, then do something about it. If you love me, get involved, feed my sheep, don't hang around, follow me. He wants us to have a living faith, a faith that will move mountains, a faith that will help God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And no one is exempt. Each and every one of us today, God is saying to you, do you love me? And if your answer is yes, then do something about it. Get involved. We are all wonderful and beautiful. Our communities, the people that we care for. But faith in God and love of Jesus is about commitment, just like in any relationship. So what is God calling you to do? What is he calling you to be? Sometimes it takes a road to Damascus moment, like it did with Saul, who then became Paul. You see, God loves each of us. He wants the scales to drop from our eyes, just like they did with Saul, so that we can truly see him. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus will keep on asking the same question. Now, I'm going to read to you from the book of Revelation. John, the writer of this magical, mystical book at the end of the Bible, is being shown how things will be by God. And we wonder what this world and this life is all about. Well, humanity has been asking those very questions throughout existence of humanity. John, in the book of Revelation, is prophesying to us. He's reminding us that until we all come to know Jesus, all of us, then God will wait. God's time, not ours. Listen to the symbolism in his words. Imagine throngs of angels and myriads and millions, everyone singing. And please respond at the end with an almighty amen, just like it would have been in the book of Revelation. So here it is. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and tens times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. and the elders fell down and worshipped. So what do we say today in response to these words of prophecy? Jesus is asking, do you love me? Do you? And if you do, let us say together, Amen. So let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, for you are with us in our journeying and in our resting. You are to be found in our homes and our daily lives when we look for you. You, Lord, are our hope and our strength, and in you we trust. Lord, make yourself known to us in our churches and through the scriptures that we read. May we know you in the breaking of the bread and in the breaking of the day, and when our hearts are breaking. Help us to see that you travel with us on the road of life and you never leave us. Fill us with your Spirit as we proclaim the good news and tell others of your love. We remember today all who are suffering because of their faith, those who live in fear and those whose lives are restricted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember before you all travellers, those who provide transport. We ask for your blessing upon those who feel that they are going into dark places, maybe journeying towards the end of their lives. We pray for those who are prisoners. We remember all who are captive, who are doubting, who fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, may we be with you in our homes. When our hearts burn within us, may we know that you are near. Help us in our dealings with others. We remember today all who are lonely or feeling rejected, all who feel that they are missing out on life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, we pray for all who have lost vision and hope, for all who are struggling with life, and we remember the brokenhearted, those suffering in broken relationships, those who are broken by illness or trouble, all who can no longer cope on their own. Lord, may they know you in their breaking, for you alone can make us whole. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, as in you we are born anew, we remember before you the faithful departed. We rejoice in the fellowship of all your saints, and may we share with them and all our loved ones, both here and departed, in the joy and fullness of eternal life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we now come to the end of our audio service for this week. It's been good to travel with you and to pray with you and to just be in a space, a spiritual space, even if it is where we're not sitting in the same room. And remember that there is VE Day celebrations going on this forthcoming week, remembering those who died for us over 80 years ago in the Second World War. Remembering that war is not something that should ever be taken lightly. And we're going to be celebrating over at Wootton Under Edge on the 8th. And if any of you fancy fish and chips at lunchtime on Thursday the 8th in the church, do contact us on our telephone number for the parish office. And you can order your fish and chips up until, I think it's the Tuesday morning before. And they will cost £6 for a good portion of chips. And you can come down to Wootton Under Edge to St Mary's and join us. We've got George Carpenter giving a proclamation at 12 o'clock. And then we're going to go into the church and there'll be an exhibition for VE Day in there for you to look at. Enjoy your fish and chips together, and we might even have a sing-song. And then in the evening at 5:45, there will be a service of peace in St Mary's, where we are thinking about the countries across the world who are still in conflict today. So have a wonderful week, and speak to you soon. Take care. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.